Hello and welcome to the London Insurance Life podcast. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Annabel Baker, international property broker at WTW, about her journey into insurance and her international travel to Tel Aviv and Munich. Annabel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, lovely to have you back. Could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. So I've been in insurance for about 3.5 years, which I can't quite believe. The time has absolutely flown by. But yeah, I work as an international property broker at WTW. And I'm also on the Insurance Institute of London Young Members Committee. And I've been working with London Insurance Life for a while now. So yeah, lots to chat about.
Lots to chat about indeed. So how did you end up as an international property broker? What was your route into insurance?
So when I was in sixth form, I was really on the fence about whether I wanted to go to uni or do an apprenticeship. I actually ended up deciding to go to the University of Exeter to study geography. But then when I was at uni, I still didn't know what career I wanted to do. So I actually just ended up going on to, I think it was something like Target Jobs, and just scrolling through internships and pretty much applying to everything. And I'm sure a lot of people could probably relate to the fact that I got a lot of rejections along the way. But one of the applications that did go forward was with Aon. So I got the offer to be part of their 8-week internship on the US casualty team at Aon in the Chelmsford office. And then following this, I got accepted onto their grad scheme in London, which was 18 months long. And this was 3 rotations. So the first one was in US casualty with the same team that I interned with, then international property, and then in terrorism. And it was really great to have experience with all of these teams, all of these lines of business. But I ultimately enjoyed international property the most. I knew it was the line of business that I wanted to get a more permanent role in. So then after my grad scheme finished, I decided to join the international property team at WTW. And it's now been almost 2 years that I've been in this team for.
Nice. So how was the shift going from uni into this grad scheme with Aon?
Yeah, so it was actually okay. I think the good thing about grad schemes is that everyone's in the same boat and there's loads of support there. So your first week is, or from my experience anyway, my first week was very much just getting to know everyone else on the grad scheme, having some like very standard insurance training that everyone needed, because believe me, no one knows anything when they first start. So don't be worried if you're starting to hear kind of jargon or see all these acronyms on various insurers' websites, because yeah, no one's got a clue, so you're not the only one. So that was really helpful that first week to have that training and the induction session. And then I was also given, as well as my line manager, I was given a buddy. So that was really helpful, because that was someone that had gone through the grad scheme kind of a couple years before me. So it was quite a relatable person to speak to about anything. Kind of, as much as there's no stupid questions, I think it's always a bit scary to ask your line manager certain things. You don't want to come across silly. So it's helpful to have that buddy in place. So I think actually it was a really seamless process. Which is great.
So were there lots of you on the grad scheme?
Yeah, I want to say something like 70 of us.
Nice, so a good size of cohort.
Yeah, definitely a good size of cohort. And where Aon's such a big company, we were all split into different sections of the firm. So not all 70 of us were brokers. I think that there were 6 of us within my broking division specifically. But then people were spread out across the firm doing different roles.
So then obviously you moved to WTW, where you are now.
Yes.
So would you be able to give me kind of a run through of what your work week looks like? So what are the mainstays that happen every week?
Yeah, of course. So I think the first thing to say is it's actually quite varied. So I was trying to sit down and think about my day-to-day role. And actually, it's quite difficult because every day is quite different. So in a standard week, we'd definitely be having calls with clients. And the purpose of those calls would generally be to help them better understand what we can offer them as a product, but also so that we can better understand their risk and their insurance needs. And then following that call, they'd typically send us across the information that we would require. In the property world, it would be things like a schedule of values, so telling us about kind of how much their building is worth or their contents are worth, and then their loss record, so their losses over the last 5 years, for example, and just where their exposures are, so that we can then package this up as a broker, send it on to insurers, and then follow up with these underwriters about the information that we've sent them to see if the risk that we're presenting is an appetite and if it's something they'd want to write. Another part of the role is kind of producing policy documentation, ensuring that the cover is contract certain. But we do kind of have specialists in the team for this. So I think it's important to say I know for me, when I first joined the insurance industry, I was worried that I was going to be sifting through hundreds of pages of policy documentation to try and understand it all. It's not the case at all. If you want to be a wordings expert, then absolutely go for it. But we don't all have to do that. And I think it's really important to say, like, it's a really face-to-face interactive industry. So actually, although that's a small part of my role, a lot more of my role is speaking to insurers about a client's risk and presenting it to them. And then another part of the role is travel. So actually, tomorrow and the day after, I'm going to be in Hamburg visiting a client with lots of insurers. And that's the client's opportunity to show us one of their sites. They give us a tour of the site, present their any updates from the last year, because this will be a renewal to WCW. So anything that's changed over the last year, any improvements that have been made. And it's just a good opportunity to get everyone in the same room, because like I said, very face-to-face industry. So the opportunity to travel is really exciting and benefits everyone.
So international travel, obviously you're off to Hamburg this week. What's the kind of the most interesting risk that you've been involved in? Is there somewhere that, you know, if people ask you down the pub what you do, you're like, well, they did send me to insert place here last year.
The only other place I've been to so far is Tel Aviv in Israel, which was about a year ago, which was a brilliant opportunity, again, to visit our local office and to visit some of our clients. And that was great. So that was, I think it was just 3 days, but we saw kind of, 15 different markets in that space of time. But in terms of interesting risks, rather than just travel, I think probably one of the largest clients that I work with has got over $40 billion worth of values. And they are a global operation. So going forward, there'll be opportunity to travel, not just within Europe, but also to America and to a few countries in Asia as well, to kind of see their sites, which is a really exciting opportunity. And just for me as well, I think one of the reasons that I enjoy working on that account is because it's so big. There's the challenge of finding all the capacity in the market. So with some smaller risks, it's really easy to get the price down because there's so much capacity available. But for this particular client, because they need to buy such a high limit, it's actually really difficult to find all of the insurers that we need to fill that. So I, as much as it's pretty stressful at times, I think I quite enjoy the stress and then the satisfaction of everything being complete.
So what does that look like? You mentioned kind of going around trying to find people to place capacity with. Does that look like walking around with a piece of paper in Lloyd's and asking people to write their names on the dotted line?
So it's not as manual, I guess, as it used to be in that sense. So absolutely, it can mean walking around Lloyd's. Unfortunately, the chance of getting a quote in person is very low these days. I think I've had 2 in-person quotes in my kind of 3.5 years of broking. So a lot of the time now, it would be a case of walking around Lloyd's, speaking to underwriters, but then having to come back to your desk and wait for that email, or they might email asking for more information. There's a bit more back and forth, and then they'll quote to you. I think as well, for these larger risks, it's important to note we've not just got Lloyd's as a marketplace to get insurance from. So we also work with insurers across the world. So I do a lot of work with insurers that are based out of Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands. So I work with them directly, whether that be Teams calls or phone calls or even just emailing. And then there's also the benefit of, in WTW's case, having a global network of brokers. So we work really closely with our Singapore office, our Bermuda office, our Shanghai office, who can then also access insurers from countries around the world that maybe we can't get to directly from London. So yeah, as much as there's that kind of physically walking around Lloyd's and speaking to people, we don't as often see these days quotes in person.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense that you've got the international part of your business, so that in-person kind of opportunity becomes a little bit more difficult when you're dealing with people in Bermuda or Singapore.
Absolutely, yeah. But I think that's also the exciting thing about the travel. For example, tomorrow is that a lot of the markets that I've only spoken to over the phone, it's an opportunity to see them in person. And I think there's something to be said for seeing people in person. I think you can build a relationship much more easily that way. And it just means that going forward, then it will be a slightly easier break potentially, because we'll already have built a rapport, which can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. So something you hear quite a lot about the insurance industry is that it's a very social place to be. Would you say that matches up with your experience?
Absolutely. I think there is the opportunity, if you want to be kind of going out for lunches, dinners, drinks after work every day. And I actually think sometimes it's the challenge of learning when to say no to things, because there are so many opportunities available, which is brilliant, but definitely want to avoid any risk of burnout. So I think when you're booking in coffees, for example, in my case of underwriters, it's really important to think, who do I actually want to see? Why do I want to see them? What do I want to get out of this conversation? And it doesn't always need to be a really serious business conversation. Actually, I think sometimes the best relationships long term going forward are kind of more general chats, getting to know about the person, their experience so far, kind of how they've got to the position that they're in. And then maybe in a few weeks or a few months' time, you can give them a call and say, kind of, it was great to see you a couple of weeks ago. I've actually now got this risk in that I thought would be great for you. And you kind of already built that relationship or started to. There's also loads of events on in evenings, whether that be networking events or things like seminars, panel discussions. So it's important to say that there's not just that social opportunity in terms of going for a drink, but actually there's always events on that can help you learn more, not just about your own line of business, but actually there's the opportunity to learn kind of across other lines of business. So I don't know, something like cyber might be really interesting because it's such an up and coming and an emerging risk. So even if you work in the financial line space, you've got the opportunity to then go to a cyber talk and learn more about that and see potentially that might be an area of business that you want to get some more experience in, but you might not have otherwise had the opportunity to do so without these events.
Yeah, I mean, insurance is such a varied space, underwriting everything from, you know, cyber to international property. I was going to ask you about what the kind of formal training program is like. Have you done any professional qualifications during your time with WTW?
Yeah, so I actually did my ACII when I was at Aon still. But yeah, so there's three levels to it. So you've got your certificate, your diploma, and then your advanced. And I think the good thing about insurance is, as far as I'm aware, all companies support and advocate for you getting your ACII all the way up to advanced level. But it's actually very rare that I come across a company that forces you to go the whole way. Often I think cert's a minimum requirement for a lot of jobs. But I know, even from speaking to senior people, that actually in insurance, it's all about your kind of on the job learning. And your ability, I don't know, in a broker's case, it might be your ability to build a rapport with a client rather than having kind of those letters behind your name. So I would say it's excellent, the training that's available, and you get so much support. As from what I hear, all companies are really supportive of it. And in some cases, you might get kind of special days off for revision. But I think it's important to note that there's not loads of waiting placed on it if that's something that would make someone nervous, having to do too many exams or too much coursework. I don't think it should be a reason to not come into the insurance industry.
So we've covered the kind of culture, the work-life side of things. We've touched on training. But one of the questions that everybody asks when you start in a new industry is what the money is like. So what would you say entry-level salaries in insurance are?
Yeah, so I think it is really hard to speak about specifics here because I obviously only really know my own personal experience. Just from what I hear, kind of market-wide stats from speaking to people, I think probably as a graduate, you're looking at around 30 to 35 as a starting salary. And then on the apprenticeship side of things, around 20 to 25. Equally, don't quote me on that because, like I said, I only know kind of my own experience. But I think from what I do see online, firms are getting so much better at advertising salaries in their online job postings, especially for things like grad schemes and apprenticeships. So hopefully that is starting to improve. And I also think that just from my experience of speaking to my peers, entry-level schemes in insurance do pay relatively well. They obviously don't pay as high as something like banking or consultancy, but I do think at this point it's really important to talk about the work-life balance that we get in insurance and how that's potentially slightly better than other industries. So I think something that people need to really think about is whether their salary is more important to them or whether they value more of a work-life balance, and there's no right or wrong answer to that. That is ultimately personal preference, but I think it's a really important thing to consider because the right answer isn't always more money, because you do need to think about whether that is suited to you and your personality and what your priorities are. I think we've also spoken already about the training and development opportunities within the industry. In both firms that I've worked for, there's been excellent learning and development. There's been extra things that I could get involved in terms of extra committees, and also my extracurricular things I do in terms of my work with London Insurance Life or on the Insurance Institute of London Young Members Committee. The work there has always been supported by my firm, so I've always been given the time out that I need to, whether that be to plan events or to attend seminars or whatever it might be, that's always been supported. And then I think just in terms of the culture of the industry as well, it's a really positive culture. There's a sense of encouragement and there's a sense of no question is a bad question. And I think for me, that was something that was really important, was feeling like I had the opportunity to ask questions and learn and be supported. And I know that in other industries, from what I've heard, there's potentially not that supportive culture. And again, if as a person you know that you can cope with that sort of environment, then that's completely up to you. But I think it's just really important to draw attention to the fact that insurance pays well, but salary isn't everything. So you need to look at the kind of wider job description and also not just focus on that first number. I know it can be really hard to get drawn in by company X is paying 35, company Y is paying 38, I should go with company Y. But actually, you need to look a little bit further on than that and think, one, what's the overall package in terms of benefits, whether that be pension, health insurance, etc. And then two, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, what will I be looking at there? What will my Will I have been promoted or will I still be in the same role? Will I have had a pay rise? What will be expected of me? I think there's a lot more at play than just salary. I completely understand why it feels really important, but I think sometimes we just need to try and take a step back and look at the bigger picture as well.
Yeah, of course. It's a package that, you know, as school leavers or university leavers are not particularly accustomed to unpacking, but there is more to it than the first number,
and I think also it can be really helpful to reach out to people. So don't be afraid of dropping someone a message on LinkedIn. If there's a company that you're looking to apply for a job at and you can see that there's someone that's already on that internship or grad scheme or entry level position, whatever it might be, the worst that's going to happen is they don't reply. And that means that you're in exactly the same position that you were in before. So actually there's no harm there. In my experience, people have always replied. I've always been willing to actually just go for a coffee and chat in person. I've had plenty of messages over the last 3 or so years as well. And it takes kind of less than a minute to respond to someone when actually your response could be the difference between them applying for the job and not. So people are always willing to help. So I do think there's a real benefit there to kind of seeking people out in the industry and asking for some first-hand advice.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of a thriving community like London's insurance community. So my last question for you today is more of a general one. What is the point of insurance? And a little bit more specifically, what is the point of the insurance that you are involved in and the risks that you are writing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to kind of butcher other lines of business by trying to go into the specifics of them and saying why you should purchase, I don't know, D&O insurance or casualty or anything like that. But if I focus on international property just for now, so basically means companies would insure their warehouses or their factories or their office blocks, for example, if any of those are damaged due to anything from natural catastrophe. So you're thinking like earthquake, a hurricane, a flood, or all the way down to a fire, then the insurance industry are here to pay out that claim and get them back on their feet. Another important part of property insurance, which might be lesser known, is the business interruption side. So basically, the insurance market don't just pay out for the cost of rebuilding what's been damaged. So, for example, if that warehouse or office block was burnt down in a fire, we don't just pay for the cost of rebuilding the building, but we also pay for the loss of profits if that's something that the client has chosen to purchase. So that basically means if a company can't get in its office block, then they obviously can't do their day-to-day work and they're potentially going to lose profits from not being able to do that. So the line of business that I work in would cover those loss of profits also. And I think just like the general meaning of insurance is kind of we're trying to reduce the financial uncertainty that clients would otherwise face. We want to provide peace of mind. So if there's a huge earthquake, that the last thing we want is our clients to be stressing about the financial implications of trying to rebuild and get their business back on their feet. We want to take that stress away from them so that we can focus on that, and they can focus on, I don't know, making sure their family's okay, or far more important things than trying to kind of, yeah, get the bricks and mortar back on the ground. So I think our kind of tagline really as an industry is all about peace of mind. Hopefully it sums it up. And yeah, like I said, I don't want to go into kind of butchering other lines of business, so I'll probably leave.
No, I think that's good. Stick to what you know. It's always a good motto.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Annabelle. It's been great to have you back and great to hear about your own experience of the insurance industry. To find out more about how to get into the insurance industry, follow London Insurance Life on LinkedIn, and you can find Annabelle's details in the description below.